like
hard
up or
to do.
down.
Understandable me. Okay, it is now 5 o'clock. We do have a quorum present. Everybody's here. I call this meeting to order. So please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I
Pledge
pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Little of the agenda. We do want to make a change on section
4.01.
4.01. We have a it's about the Stewart Island Fire Brigade building, and we do have Noel Monin coming to answer our questions. So we want to move that up to just after the school board appreciation. Correct?
Right.
Okay. So that's the only change. Can I have someone make a motion to approve the agenda with the change?
I so move.
I
John
second.
moved. Melanie seconded. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Done. Public comment. Public comment. Nope. Okay. Student showcase. You guys are up.
Okay, well, I would like to introduce our amazing student council members and welcome to spring. We're going to start out with Dylan and Piper presenting about resilience regulations, which has been something that is implemented throughout our school. So, first. Are you taken?
Everybody.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Bill.
I'll go first. It's just the report.
Hi, my name is Keegan, and I am the president of student council at Fry Harbor Elementary, and these are my associates.
I'm Lauren. I'm Dylan.
First, we have student council members to tell you about the zone of regulation.
Understanding the zone of regulation presented by FACTS Student Council. What are the zones of regulation? The zones of regulation helps us understand our feelings and energy levels. There are four zones, and each has a color in the blue zone is very low, so you're like sad, tired, bored, and sick. Green zone is calm, focused, energy, conscious, calm, and ready. Yellow zone is higher energy, but still in control, like worried, frustrated, or overwhelmed. Red zone is out of control energy, such as anger, panic, or racism. How do we use the zones at school? Morning check-ins, we share what zone we're in to start our day. Calm corners. We take a break in the calm corners in our classrooms and use tools to move back to the green zone. We learn strategies to use for the zones. It is our goal that by the end of the school year, every student at FHES will be able to name at least three strategies or tools to help them regulate their feelings. Such as stretching, connect with someone, drink water, get a healthy snack, swim, get some headphones, take a walk, deep breaths, ask for help, fidget. Self-talk, take a break. This student is doing a feelings check-in. He is using the meter to show what zone he is in and what his energy level is. He will also choose tools that will help him with his zone. For example, if he is choosing the green zone, he could use the tool of drinking water and using positive self-talk to help him stay in the green zone. If he chooses the blue zone, he could stretch, walk, or take a sip of water. And if he chooses the yellow or red zone, he could take belly breaths, take a break, or ask for help. Why do the zones matter to us? The zones of regulation helps us be better learners and friends. It teaches us to understand our feelings, regulate our emotions, and make good choices. Favorite zones tools. There are some tools we use to regulate our emotions. Deep breaths. I take deep breaths before my basketball game, if I have a problem at recess, or before a test. Positive self-talk. When I was nervous about running for student council, I said to myself, I am brave enough to try. Getting a drink of water helps when I'm tired or I need to stay focused. Thank you for supporting the zones of regulation at Friday Harbor Elementary. Do you have any questions for us?
How long did it take for you to practice this?
That's a good question.
There's green.
Any nerves?
You did really well. Knowing about the red and yellow zone help you want to be in the green zone more? I mean, has it helped you to understand how you are feeling? Mm-hmm. Like knowing there is a green zone, does that help you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely need to get back there.
Oh, good to. Oh, you guys did really
good. That was awesome. Really it was very good, Jeremy. Very good.
We had dream days and to celebrate we got some new pictures. His big dream was to end segregation and to help save the elderly. The city council was inspired by MLK and Joseph Lee's vision for learning this. Students dressed up like someone they admire or did a good job. Student council would like to thank all of you for helping us reach our dreams. Here are just a few of those dreams.
An artist.
Big dreams for our third grade and fourth grade. And my dream is to be a vet. I want it. And my dream is to be a vet. Hello, I'm Milo. I'm the businessman.
My name is Ben, and my dream is to be a paleontologist. Even our youngest have been
aspirations.
What are your names? And what is your dream one day? Awesome. Thanks, guys. Your name is Cameron, and what do you want to be when you grow up? Awesome. You want to do a trick?
Do a magic trick for us. Some students are going to make up their minds.
Hello, my name is Judah Hill, and my dream is to be a detective slash computer scientist slash actor.
Wow.
A much needed dream.
Hi, I'm Jacob Boston, and I'm going to be the third type of man living in quarters.
Last but certainly not least.
Hi, my name is Dolly. I'm going to be a teacher when I grow up.
All right, what do we all have to say?
You are so welcome. Thank you all for reaching for your dreams.
So I'm just going to move right into it. So it is School Board Appreciation Month, and we are extremely thankful that we have the board we do. It is a very good board, and I'm not just saying that because they actually hired me, but because they are really good at what they do. And from now, Governor Bob Ferguson, it reads, whereas the mission of Washington Public School System is to ensure that all students achieve high levels and possess knowledge and skills to be responsible members of our democratic society. And whereas Washington 295 locally elected school board of directors and 9 elected education service district boards are core of the public educational system. Whereas the districts and regions they lead serve more than 1.1 million students and have a combined annual budget of over $20 billion and employ approximately 125,000 plus people. And whereas school directors play a crucial role in promoting student learning and achievement by creating vision, establishing policies and budgets, and setting clear standards of accountability. Whereas school directors are directly accountable to the residents in their districts and regions, serving as a vital link between the members of the community and their schools. Whereas school districts and ESDs provide a passionate voice of advocacy for public schools and the welfare of school children. And whereas it is appropriate to recognize the school board directors as outstanding public servants and champions for public education. Now, therefore, I, Bob Ferguson, Governor of the State of Washington, hereby proclaim January 2025 the School Board Recognition Month in Washington, and I encourage all the people in our state to join me in the special observance. So, again, just by saying thank you to our outstanding school board, we just wanted to give them a round of applause. Thank you. That's it, unless you're
going to. And then, on behalf of our ASB, we have a thank you poster for the school board, as well as some flowers for you guys. We're very appreciative of everything you do. So I'll leave this back here. Everyone in ASB signed it. So if you guys are curious, they left a little note for each of you. So.
That's awesome. Well, thank you. And again, I want to say thank you to all of them. And you got to know that they are an elected position that is not paid. So remember, they're not making big dollars every time they come to these meetings or the mid-month meetings, or they get a call from someone in the community. It's not a high-paying position, but it's a much-needed position in today's world. And these people do it selflessly, and they spend a lot of time doing it. I'm very thankful that they're a part of it. Well, I'm a part of it here, too. So thank you all. And with that, I'll quit. And again, for anybody that is here tonight that, you know, was here to present, You don't have to feel obligated to stay. It's a rousing meeting. You can stay if you like to stay, but it's okay if you want to go too, because the rest of it turns into the business meeting for the night. So I just want to make sure everybody felt comfortable doing that.
Good job, guys.
That was awesome. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Here.
Oh, no,
Piper. What grade are you in now? What grade are you in now? You're getting old. Your mom's getting really old. You and Sucky Girl are playing basketball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're still playing? You guys are here now. Good job. I wish they were fun pitches like
that when I was a kid. I wish it that way.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they're not.
Go ahead. Keep it for next year.
Do you have those in each of the classrooms?
Yeah.
You have one? I was going to ask that question. That's awesome.
Thank you.
That was awesome. So the usual suspects came and sat closer now. They're not listening.
No.
Well, we're actually going to move to
the old floor,
so we got that chain. Can you go to the first, no, the other one, sorry. So the reason why this is on here is that, and Noel's here to answer questions, and then have a presentation, so, you know, feel free so they tell you what we're doing. Okay. Stewart Island is part of Fire District, I'm correct in saying that, correct?
Yeah, they've been annexed for 3 years now.
And they've been wanting to, the fire brigade's wanting to put something in there that can respond to an emergency quicker. And there are two locations that we're looking at. One of them is on a private area, and another one is on the corner of our part of the property that we own down there. I'm pretty sure that we'll have to do some checking. As I got thinking, the moment we put it to the corner. We have part of the property over there.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's our property and the school is on their property, but
that's what I mean.
Yeah. The school building was on the other property that was deeded to us to use as a school, but then we bought another 1.4 acres.
I just want to make sure that we're giving away that size.
Right. So we might have to check on that now that we're looking at it. But it's ours. The idea was that they wanted to put a structure which would be in the far corner of that, which is good because the soccer field is not just used by our school kids, but tourists are there. It's amazing how many tourists go to Stewart annually. And they would cut an access to the main road that is on, just kind of disappears on the left-hand side of the screen. And really what they're trying to put there, we would have to take action to say it's okay if it's ours. And that would be the next picture. This is just a limited design, should be different, but it's just basically a garage structure. Mm-hmm. And I think Noel can speak of, I'll ask Noel this question in a second, but because I figured we would have this question. from my understanding, it's fire truck equipment and then basically water. And you'd said something there might happen. You're going to do something with rain catchment or something like that?
Correct. So thank you, board, for your time and considering this. This is a community-driven project and the locals on Stewart Island. When we annexed a couple of years ago, we started some training programs to build a brigade program, which are volunteers to respond on Stewart Island. The intent being they can be the first responders out there, and eventually with our fire boat, we can need more help or whatever for a fire or larger emergency. We will get there eventually. But our goal is to essentially establish a fire station at somewhere on the island. This is part of their organic process. It was their idea to reach out to the school board. As Superintendent Wood said, there's another property in mind as well. Now, my opinion is if it's a government opportunity, I always like to take those. It's generally good measure, in my opinion. But it's entirely up to you if you want to do this. The idea being,
to build a two-bay fire station, and that would house a fire truck and some equipment. And also, we would want to put a rain catchment on the building so that we could capture source rain for fire protection so they can access that seasonally. It's essentially the community doing this. The fire district had set aside a budget this year to provide them $30,000 to start the project. That was before our levy was passed this last fall, so we're working under the original levy we submitted. Obviously, the voters approved a substantial levy increase for us, so when we do our amendment adjusted, we will add some more funds to that. The community has already started milling up their own wood. They're basically going to build the building themselves. They've got the skill and talent out there, and also the will. So the other question that came up, and I know it's a concern in the community, is whether we would be having any fire suppressing agents out there that would be forever chemicals. And we will not. We do not use those anymore. They are no longer in our fleet. We have we do have some stored at the main headquarters because we did use that at one time, and we're still waiting for Department of Ecology on what to do with it. There's lawsuits being thrown around. Manufacturers don't want it back. Nobody wants it. But we do not deploy that forever chemical any longer.
So when you say you annex Stewart, because I know they used to have like they like elected me there, like the fire chief, you know, there's just kind of very big. So you're basically bringing some structure to all this. Kind of
correct. So the annexation that we took part in included the town of Friday Harbor because we had been contracting them with them, and then also what we call the outer islands. So that's Henry Island, Stewart Island, Johns Island, Spiden, Dinner, all little surrounding islands. And Stewart Island, as it happens, it's bifurcated. The locals know there's two sides of the island.
That's the other thing. That
this is the Stewart West. Yeah. These guys are really organized and go-getters. Stewart East is as well, but they already have a fire station. So it is. So they're actually going to raise the roof line and headers, and so we can fit a fire truck in there. So our goal is to give them the tools and equipment they want as long as they can muster the people to help.
That's cool. Yeah, again, I think we need to shut down where we're at.
I was pretty sure when we looked at the original design that this was our property.
Yeah, I just know there was like a family building thing and they were kind of downloaded.
There is, but as we looked at it, and it's been since December, so now I'm questioning myself, but I'm pretty sure when Diane and I got the maps out, we saw which part was definitely ours and which was the other one, and I believe that. This falls on our property, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Was ours. That's why the school actually sets on the deeded property for school use from the family.
Oh, so the red box is where they want to put it.
Yeah, the red box at the corner. Yeah, which is far.
I don't know if the other box is going to be down the line. Okay. Oh, yeah. Awesome. Right down the road, and the community's behind it as well.
Yeah, there was a survey done with the community. Ideally, the fire district was looking for the county dock location so that when we get there, we have access. We're thinking of in terms of deployment.
Yeah.
The community resisted that pretty firmly and said, you know, you guys figure it out how to get to us, but we want a station right here. And, you know, if that's what they want and they can muster the volunteers to run it, that's the way it should be.
So where would a road connect
it? Yeah, it's a good question. I think at this stage right now, with the director's support, I would ask that Fred and I can talk about more of the details and discover, you know, whether this is still feasible or not, and iron out the contract, the ILA that would be needed for a long-term relationship.
Yeah. And we'll have to do some talking. I also know that it's Bruce. Bruce is kind of leading the charge over at Becker.
Yeah, Bruce Becker. He's definitely been leading the charge. He's the community leader right now.
And he's got, you know, I know who owns the property next to it on that side of it. And I know that he's talked about, it looks longer there on that scale than it actually is. But the distance to the road, you know, cutting through that other piece of property, because I've been talking to the other person as well that owns that property. Because what we did talk about, we didn't want to cut back to our soccer field. So And they have some other ideas that, you know, when they talk about other property ideas, it's not really that far from the school, but it might be closer to the road on the corner over there, but it's just not our property.
Would the idea be get to Reed Harbor, which is more of the more thoroughfare one?
No, it's more the thoroughfare going back up to
Crest.
Yeah, it would be more of the cut across. It would have some trees.
So we'd have to ask the neighbors for help on that one at that point.
One.
Maybe,
one.
Yeah.
One.
I mean, we're not going to obviously we're not going to do a diagonal through our soccer field.
No,
but sure
no.
We work out.
Right. The Bruce, yeah. And Bruce was really good about that too. He knows the importance of that whole play area there. That wasn't the goal. But
yeah, they're just a protective of it as the school district.
My question is about access as well. Would there be individuals, volunteers, community members accessing this daily or regularly? Or just an emergency situation?
It would be emergencies and training, but as a fire station, it would become a community asset. I mean, that's what fire stations are.
Maybe that'd be some maintenance.
Yeah, and that would be in our agreement. We would iron out those details. Ownership of the building, it could be the fire district eventually. It could be a 501c3. It could be a 501c3 transfer. Various ways to do the project and save funds to the community.
I'm not sure how the volunteer, how it works for them for background checks and stuff, but being on school property, we would probably have background checks for people.
That's what I was going to do.
Yeah, we do background checks. We do an initial onboarding background check when we take on volunteers, and then we refresh that every 3 years along with driver abstracts.
And I think on the MOU or the interlocal, we have to just have communication pieces. When are you coming on site? When are the kids not on site? You know, and what can be done during the school day? What can't be done during the school day? Unless there's an emergency. That's a different thing. Following the fire.
Yeah.
You know, of course, we do that even now with fire that you bring up to school.
Exactly. Yeah, I think terms of use would be appropriate.
Yeah.
When you look at the building plan, which probably isn't going to exactly look like that in the end, it doesn't seem to lend itself for a community center, which would be my concern.
I agree with you. I'm guessing that's sort of a placeholder hodgepodge that was put together just to give a concept. My hope is that we build a fire station, a sort of a forever legacy type building that's really nice and looks nice, has nice trim and nice features that
but
would, that would
like
match
like
the community
office, like more than just a garage, you know, maybe some kind of administrative gathering.
That devil's in the details again, but I think architecture design would be appropriate. Like I said, they're looking at milling their own wood.
Yeah,
and I can see some larger scale features that these guys are going to put together.
Bruce was really talking about because he had access to some money and time from people. They were hoping if it gets approved that they can even start on the process later this spring. I mean, that's how quick they want
to. They're eager to go. I actually had to put the brakes on them because we're still living on last year's budget. So until the tax revenues come in this spring, we're like, hold on, I can't buy cement for you right now.
So how much water are you anticipating getting from that?
You know, I don't know.
I just can't envision that because doesn't a water truck hold like 1,000?
No, this will be scaled to the community. The fire engine at that station will be the minimum standard that the Washington Survey and Ratings Bureau requires for it to be a class 9A, protection class 9A fire station, which is 250 gallons is the minimum it has to be. It'll probably be, well, it's
not for much.
Well, fires are interesting that way. What I like to tell people is if we can keep it small, we can win. If it gets big, we just throw a lot of water at it and we lose.
And are you looking at solar or is that a detail that has not been?
That has been, but yes, that would be one. Part of the requirement to meet the Survey and Ratings Bureau of Insurance assessment requirements would be that it's a heated structure. And so we would need some sort of heating in there, and that would probably be by solar power.
I think the question is for you tonight, decided, would you approve the at least beginning designs of allowing them to create something there? And of course, we would have to come back if there's a change to location, or if there's a change maybe in the footprint, you know, how much bigger it's going to be, we'd have to come back and have a discussion. But
I'd say move forward.
But preliminarily, would you be okay with that?
I'd look at it as a spirit of cooperation. If it's not going to work, it's not going to work. But I think if it's, you know, if you're willing to green light it, I'm open to it. And, you know, worst thing that can happen is we got to look for somewhere else.
Okay, so could I have a motion to approve the building structure on the school property for Stuart West Fire Brigade?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Brian moves.
I'll second.
Melanie seconding. Any other discussion?
So is it approval for the building, or is it approval for planning of the building?
The building of the structure. We could put planning amended to that.
Yeah, I'd like to hear some more planning first.
Yes.
Put the brakes on, but I mean, just to make sure that it's not.
Doesn't end up looking like that.
No, and the community, see how it changes, just the spirit of it. I'd say we're.
Okay. So, motion to approve the planning of the building structure on the school property. Any discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Yes. Okay, so it was unanimous.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. We'll talk soon. And do you want to get a hold of Bruce and let him know the good news?
Tell John Salix I did my job.
I tried. Diana, can you remind me to call Bruce tomorrow and let him know? Yeah, I can do that.
That would be great.
Okay, so I'll explain to him what the difference is between planning and starting to dig a foundation. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, so now you're up, Brad?
Yeah. Okay. So, just have two things on here, but one was kind of long, and I don't really have anything new to TJ, so it will be something that you'll be able to add to your list. I won't steal any of those. So we can put that up there, but I'm going to make another statement first before I begin with this. I just have two statements, and the first one is I want to make a statement to everybody about what you're seeing on a lot of Facebook or fears with immigration. And I want you to know that OSPE has sent out some direction to us. And the first thing you need to know is as a school district, you are not allowed to make a decision on enrollment based on citizenship or status of parental immigration status. You just can't. So we're not allowed to know who's what when the kid works in school. Our job is to open the doors and take the kids that come in. So there's really no information that we could provide. We wouldn't anyway. You know, you don't just have free access for whatever reason in here. And it is a stance of the schools in the state of Washington to not allow enforcement of any activity in the school building. And so if there's any place is the safest place, it is the school. And this is not atypical. I want to say when a sheriff department comes into the school, unless it's something that specifically happened in the school that we brought the sheriff department in for, interviews and different things that the sheriff department might want to do because there's access to kids, we don't allow unless the parents agree to. And that's a common practice. So we just, you know, though I can't sit and write out a specific step-by-step process that we have, because it's kind of in some ways new to all schools, that the truth is I just wanted to make a statement that the school is at this point the safest place, and all principals know if anything ever comes to their door that they're supposed to send that down to me, and that's where we'll go with it. Okay, and so I want to make that statement and then go on from there. The second thing changes topics completely. We'll have a PowerPoint up there. John, you're welcome. I did create them too.
Way too much time on your hands.
Way too much time. A week ago, was it a week ago? 2 weeks ago, the association and members of the association and myself presented to all of the district And it's about the work that we've been doing as a board with the other islands. And this was the presentation. I'm going to give you word for word all of it. We'll kind of quickly go through some of it. But I love this. This has been on the flyers, and the information's been going out to the community that we're one voice in all of the islands. And it is three school boards, six associations, three PTAs saying the same thing. And so what we talked about with everybody in our district, and it was packed in there, and you go ahead and move. And again, let's go ahead and keep moving. And again, I won't make John see everything. Okay, so when we went to this, we showed that this is what's going out to the community saying, it's not about that we're in a financial crunch like we were in 2008 in this district. The district has been, I'm not trying to say I did a great job, in San Jose did a great job, it's been managed well, we're financially solvent. It doesn't mean we're flush with cash, we're not, we're just in good shape compared to districts who are dipping down to below 1% end fund balance or they're in the red in their end fund balance. We're not there. But we are grossly underfunded in three, it's two, for us, it's two of the three main areas, but in the state, there are three areas that the state's not living up to what they need to do. And for us, can you go to the next one? I think I'll jump back and forth. I know you can't see this, but what this is a six-year look, including predictions for this year, and then I can, on the gaps in state funding. And this is what we presented to our district, because sometimes people in our district don't know this, as well as the community we're trying to share, that when it comes to something like special education, you can see starting back in 2019, 2020, that we spent $1,891,000, and there's a $411,000 deficit. Well, what does that mean? How do you make that up? Well, you take that money out of, you can say general fund, but it's really that local levy that we have here is important, which was supposed to be for enrichment or for so many other things, keep our class size small. We have to use that money to fund it. And you can see how that gap has grown. And now someone goes, well, look at 22, 23, we had a $700,000 gap, and then we dropped down to 400,000. Well, there were two figures for that, two reasons. They did up the percentage. And then we also had a decrease in the high impact need students that caused a lot more. But then we look at what we're predicting this year, which is $766,000 gap, which if you look at all those years, that's $3.57 million when they say you have to teach, you have to serve kids in a special ed fashion, and yet they're not paying for it. And so there are laws that dictate it, and yet we don't get the money for it. And that's why we're saying underfunded or there's a gap. They're not matching the funded mandate. And the same thing at MSOC is material supplies and operational costs. And this was really kind of an eye opener to a lot of people in that we have, if you look down the bottom, the gap would increase to 4.51 million. Now, why is an operating cost important? Can you go to that next one? I think it's the next one. No, I mean the next slide. Well, I'll stay here for a second, then I'll come back to MSOC. I'll quickly say this one is interesting because we want 16% is what they pay us. We can only have 16% of our school population supposedly be special education. We currently are a little bit over 17%. Last year, we were at 18%, so there's a part of the gap problem. The threshold, I'm not going to go into explaining right now or multipliers, but there are other things within how they pay for special education that would close that gap, and they don't do anything with those. So there, it's when we're going to state, we're asking for three different things, and that is to get working on those three things could even that gap. MSOC is interesting because this is statewide data that shows for schools between 21 and 24 how much food has gone up for the cost of schools for food, transportation, utilities. The last one is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
60% increase in insurance that we have to have. Now, we haven't gone up quite 60 over the time. I'm right in saying that. But when you take someone that's gone up a lot somewhere else statewide, it's 60%. And notice over that same time, the increased MSOC allocations from the state, it's only been 15.54%. So you can see why we have that issue. And I made the argument that when there is a building here and a building in a big school district, both buildings have high electric costs. But you get your money for MSOCs based on how many students you have. So it doesn't make sense. They think, well, you'll have less buildings. It doesn't matter. Our bill for electricity in January 24 was $38,000. I think on this you saw in the consent agenda $31,000. Now it's always higher now than it is a little in the summer, but that's a lot of money. And that's pulling from general funds. It's they give us MSOCs to cover these, but it's not matching it. We're in a $4 million gap. So the point behind it is, no, we have done well at managing what we have, but we're saying you're not doing your job. And the only other thing I want to say that I shared, you can go on to the next one to see, keep moving. I'm not going to talk about transportation, is this one. They're not wanting to make a lot of movement on this. I was in an attorney's office yesterday, and the attorney made a statement to everybody that regionalization is really a hot topic in the Northwest region. Not so much in every other part of the state, but up here it's a hot topic. And we aren't letting it drop. That's why I didn't want to let this drop when we went to, or we're going to legislators and we're saying we want to continue to look at regionalization, because we don't understand why we're still at 12% and someone across the pond real close to us is at 18%. It just doesn't make sense. And so we're asking that they continue to look at 18% so it matches what it's supposed to match, and that is our home values. There are places that have home values of $550,000. We have home values of just under $1 million. They're getting 18% and we're getting 12%. I felt a little bad when he shared with us yesterday that Bellingham's only getting 6. I went, oh, well, let's get them out of the picture. Let's talk about us. But that's a problem for them too. It's not fair when they can go right up the street from them and there's another district that's getting 12% and they're only getting 6. So it's statewide, it became a political issue. So I think the point behind this is, and it can end with this, is that I want to share that tonight. Well, Steve here too, he can see it. But I wanted to share it tonight because this is what we shared with the district, and this is what we're doing on a weekly basis, sharing it with community. And we're now starting to get questions from the community. And some of those questions are like, are you guys broke? No. No. I mean, if we keep going like we are, it could cause some issues. There needs to be some changes. We're in an okay place today. But the cost to do business is going up, and the revenue isn't matching it. And we're hoping that we can see at least a modicum of change in both special education and MSOCs this year. I'm a little leery of anything happening with regionalization. I really doubt they have the stomach to talk about it, but I wish they would. I know there's been some talks out there about lifting the levy lid. It would help us because
I'd take that a regionalization.
I take it. People here already voted for it. They said we would give it to you, but we can't collect it at this point. And they've already, you know, I've heard some different rumblings in transportation about kicking it down the road to 2028. I don't know if you've heard anything different.
That's what I know.
So I just want to share, this is what I shared with all of the district. And then there were a lot of people, I think immediately there were about 50 people in our district that wrote on those postcards. They were had names to specific legislators, sent them down to them the very next day, and there's still more cards out there. More cards in our district office that are labeled if anybody wants to come in and write a postcard and send it, because the more information, the more pressure they get from us, the more they realize we're serious about it. It's been a great grassroots effort with the three islands. I'm telling you, I've never seen it this organized. And with the association, this has been a joint effort to get the state to say, we're not asking, you may think it's the moon, but we're asking you to do what you said you're going to do or what you're at, or to pay for what you're requiring us to do. And that is open the buildings and teach special education children as well as our general education children. Mm-hmm. So
And I would like to make clear that we're not asking for money from the public. That's what a lot of people have misconstrued this information to be, because they're not legal. I'm assuming they came from somewhere else and they were not educated at Friday Harbor. But a lot of people have said that they think that we're asking for more tax money, and we're not. We're asking the legislature to do their job, and they're misconstruing it. So if that comes up to any of you, please let them know that it's not a new tax. We're not asking for public money. For what the legislature is mandating to do.
Yeah, we're asking them to prioritize the budget in a way that makes, we think, sense. And I think we've all heard the statement that it was only 5-6 short years ago, almost 52% of the budget was, the state budget was given, was toward education. And this past year it was 43. And if you went with the governor's budget, it would be at 41. And we're just asking for a reprioritization of what is important to the state. And that's it. It's not just a money grab. I know it comes across like that because districts have to go. We're going down to the legislature as a group of superintendents here in just a couple of weeks and meeting with about 6 or 7 different legislators. We have to do that annually. That's just part of how this, I don't want to say game, but somewhat games played today. But we're actually just trying to get what's best for the islands, and we're about fairness more than anything else.
Am I the one that has a little business card with the QR code on it?
We gave out a lot of them. So if you
have, I've been giving out a ton of them. It's huge to find. People love them. Because I think they can actually print their own postcards.
You can.
Off the link. And I know people are like, I'm getting to print my postcards right now. Okay. So I have more of them in my office. I can bring them to the office in my office and then they'll respect it.
The little cards have little QR codes on the back of it. It opens right up to the website that was created by this committee.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll make public statement. Hats off to TJ is a big part. John, there's been more than that, but TJ's on the reg rep and has worked with also Bridget Bodrick from Orcas. And Sarah's last name is from Lopez. Do you know? Murphy?
Sarah Murphy.
Yeah.
They've been excellent in all of this. And it's the boards working together in conjunction. And Sarah did a great job in running meetings.
Yeah.
Great job. Kudos to them. And the interesting thing is, we all have different things. Each board has a little bit different problem. But
perfect.
Perfect. Good job.
Way to go, Dr. Z.
That's all I have. Okay. I mean, because he's getting tired.
Yeah.
Okay, so me and you are up. Okay. So first off, for our school's Key Club, which is a part of the Kiwanis Washington organization, has recently been going to the village to help with tech stuff. So we started that in January, and we're going to start sending 4 to 5, 6 students every other week, and they go to the village and help them, just like even as simple as like taking a picture. And I think what's really having like a big impact is just like bonding with the older people in the community. You know, it's like not every day that they get to see a bunch of high schoolers showing them how to take a selfie on their phone. So I just think it's really bonding. And we are also going to start involving more holiday stuff. So on Valentine's Day that week, we are going to head over 2 times and make Valentine's Day with them. So that would be super fun. Last week was our finals week, as most of you probably know. So the energy was definitely high. I could tell a lot of the students were stressed, but I think now that we are officially in the second semester, it definitely is a lot calm and everyone has a lot of new classes, which has been super, super cool to see. I feel like we have a lot of new programs that I hadn't seen, like this or into psychology, which I didn't even know we offered that until this year. So that is super fun. We also had our winter formal last year, which a bunch of students came. That was super fun. And we raised over $500 for ASB. So that was super exciting.
Just last week?
Yeah, last Friday. Yeah. So that was super exciting. Our Eco Club recently did a clothes swap. So basically a bunch of the students got to bring in old down clothes that they didn't want and could swap it with other students. So that is just another example of how their club is helping our environment and just reusing and recycling. And I also feel like it was bonding, like being able to wear like
someone at school you might not know, but you're going to wear a sweatshirt the next day. So I just feel like that was super fun. And lastly, community projects were presented a couple weeks ago, which was super cool to watch. I got to sit in one of the presentations. It was Neil Aggressive and his partner, Andrew. And they redid all the trails behind the airport, which I didn't even know that there were trails there. But there was like a bunch of trails, and they cleaned it out. They worked on it for months, day and night in the rain. So it's just cool to see what students are doing on their free time. Like Neil, he plays basketball and everything. So he would go before school started and after practice, and we put a lot of effort into it. So yeah, that was super interesting. You guys have any questions?
Is that your sweatshirt?
No. This one is one. Yeah.
Hey, thank you. Next section, Faith, you're up. And you will also explain section 5.01, reverting to your previous policies.
Okay, great. Okay, so as far as our review goes, our policies and procedures 3205 and 5011 have been deemed effective for our school district this year. We've had two instances where we've had to utilize these policies, and they were definitely effective in guiding that process. The piece I wanted to share with you about these policies is how directly related they are to our federal Title IX regulations. New Title IX regulations were issued in 2024, and as a result, we had to update our policies and procedures, and we just did that in our December meeting. Those new federal Title IX regulations were just shot down in the Sixth Circuit Court as of January 9th. So as a result, we're going to need to go back to our so that's going to be the move until further information and further regulations are issued. So yeah, that's essentially all I have to share for you guys. Any questions?
Thank you.
So we have action on that.
Yes, oh, it's on, that's okay. Next one, we'll get to it.
Okay.
So now we have the approval of academic calendars. And can you put them up there? This is for the next 2 years.
Okay, so there are two components to this, and make sure you know what you're voting on. So the committee met quite a few different times before it submitted some choices to the school district for both classified and certified, and they voted, and these are the ones that won. So this would be the improvement calendar for 2 years. What it shows here in the two parts of, so before we vote, that this one is 25-26. It looks just like we normally do. It would start on the 28th, I think, of August, correct? And end on June 11th. The circles after June 11th are potential snow days if we are forced into that. And so it stayed the same. Now, I before I talk about the PD day, you go to 26-27, what won and how this was interesting. Because normally we start 2 days before the Labor Day weekend. But to do that, because Labor Day is not until September 7th, it would have forced us to end farther out in the game. But we presented it to them as starting that way. We also presented one that started August 28th again, is that correct? 27th. August 27th, which would be, you start 2 days, and the next week is 5 days, then you have Labor Day weekend. And that is atypical. It's different than any time I've been here in the 18 years.
Makes way more sense, though.
It makes a lot of sense. It was a closer vote, but it did win, and that was the one that won. And so we'd be asking to approve that calendar. It too gets it's finished by June 10th. It stays pretty normal to what we do. I will tell you that we didn't offer, and no one complained about it, we did not offer an after Labor Day start, because in all the time that I've been here and everybody else in the committee, any time that we put that out there, it's shot down. This district is not like starting after Labor Day, even though other districts do, as far as the percentages on those votes. So this is what I'm bringing to you. So what's different? Okay, so I told you earlier that I'm a big believer in professional development, and I've been meeting more with a superintendent from Anacortes, how he's done it for so many years. You are able to, if you have enough hours, and we have more than enough hours, that we're way above the hours that are mandated in the state, you can waive a day, because you're supposed to be in 180 days, of contact time and have a district-directed professional development day. And I always get where we've had something at the beginning and we haven't been able to follow up in the year. So I suggested that we do a waiver days the first day of the second semester. Teachers are mandated to attend that day. It is a professional development day. We already have ideas. I will tell you, this puts a lot of pressure on principals, and they know that because they've got to be thinking about what is mostly needed for their teachers during that time. But I think honoring teachers with solid professional development that can improve their practice is critical. They approved that too. Both classified and certified approved the idea of having a PD day in both years. So you have both calendars, but you're also approving the PD day and the 180-day schedule. Any questions?
Where does it show up on it?
It's the blue
February 1
and the 26th. Okay. And someone said, well, we could use it at the snow day if we get snowed out, but not if I paid for speakers to come in. So I'm sorry. We can't. It doesn't work that way. If we didn't have speakers come, you know, purchased and contracted, we could have a conversation about making that a potential snow day and come to school.
But it could be a snow day.
I just keep it special.
We would keep it as much as we could keep it a PD day, is what we would do. Because we've already waived it. So there would be some logistics in that in the state to figure out how that could be considered a snow day when it's already been
No, I mean, if it actually snows, no.
Oh, but actually snowed
yeah,
out.
Which,
yeah, that would be a snow day for
yeah.
sure.
Okay. So could I have a motion to approve the calendars as
I'll move to approve.
Melanie approved.
Second.
PJ seconded. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Yes.
Aye.
Okay, unanimous again. Consent agenda. This for standard monthly expenses, personnel changes, meeting minutes. And this time we also have in there extending Fred's contract, which we need to vote on. And there are two gifts or donations we accept with gratitude. $29,581 from the Public Schools Foundation on materials and supplies. And from Purple and Gold, almost $1,600 for meals for athletes who went to state championships. There are two grants as well, one from the National Marine Sanctuary Foundation for $3,975 to cover the cost for Sam Garson to attend the NOAA Teachers at Sea program. And our risk management pool covered membership for human resources training in the amount of $5,500. So could I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Brian moved.
Second.
John seconded. Mm-hmm. Any further discussion or questions? All in favor?
Yes.
Okay. Consent agenda. Passed. Monthly budget, Jose, you're up. If it was a no vote.
Okay, start with enrollment. Enrollment went down by one, but still holding steady, and we're still on track to meet the budgeted enrollment for the year, barring any drastic change to now and year end. And as Superintendent pointed out, we are just over 17% of our students are in special education. So that's where that proposal to increase the percent from 16 to 17% of your students would be beneficial to us. Any questions about enrollment? Any questions about these non-general fund funds? And we're still kind of in the doldrums of the year. Not much to report other than I'm just going to touch on what Fred referred to earlier as far as our fund balance and where we are financially. We are in a better position than most school districts. But there's a certain thing besides, you know, some intentional planning. We've benefited from factors that have been a little bit extraordinary, increased enrollment specifically, students from Lopez Island coming over here that has held now for the second year in a row was a big plus for us. We counted on them this year and they came back this year for the most part. We also opened up Stewart Island School, which falls under a different type of funding. It's called Remote and Necessary Schools. And that has also been very beneficial to us. Last year, Fred showed that gap, that decrease in that gap of special ed, that deficit spending, when the rate went from 15 to 16%. We've also got some money from TK that's mostly going in and out. On the TK program. And if you were to look, I think we've talked about this a couple months ago, at the four-year budget last year compared to this year, we're still looking at cuts, potentially, but they weren't the drastic cuts that we were looking at. And the factors I just mentioned have reduced those from multiple hundreds of thousands to just, you know, about 100,000. Or so. We're also going into a negotiation year, and we know that we will have to use some of that fund balance in a very sustainable manner. You know, it's, you know, I love seeing 12% up there, and it would be great to keep that, but it would also be great to use that in the best way possible for the school district. Any questions about the report? The legislative session, still, if you remember from prior years, anything that's good news in the first couple of weeks will eventually not be such great news. So we'll just keep monitoring and see what starts to stick to the wall as we go along. And what actually ends up happening.
Can I add in? I don't want, if you guys will go back and look at even last year's four-year budget cycle, I think he's, I don't want what he said to go another underestimated or undervalued. That red that you see on the potential cuts to get us to a zero on that annual surplus deficit line. It's very different from 1 year ago.
Yeah.
And you listed some of the reasons, and there are other good reasons probably beyond those too, but that's why we say, you know, we feel pretty good about where we are. It doesn't mean that we don't have some decisions to make moving forward, and even more money coming from the state where they should be putting money would help us cut that, but that's quite a bit different, especially on the fourth year, the three cut line, you know, how much you'd have to cut each year to get that. I'll just tell you, I can't remember the exact numbers. It's much different than it was.
So in last year, which would have been this year, was 275,000, then 200,000, and then 330,000. And there's a couple of things here. That we look at. One is to maintain the fund balance that's sustainable. Mm-hmm. And what kind of drives, and it's not necessarily cuts, it's cuts in spending, you know, savings, or increased revenues. But the big thing, if you look right under that blue section, the fund balance, surplus or deficit, that is kind of the driving factor. What do we have to do to have a revenue neutral budget each year? And that's your goal, is to have a fund balance you can sustain, and having a budget where you spend what you get. So we've gone from a total of almost $800,000 in cuts over 3 years to maybe 280.
So did we actually finish in the black?
So that first one, that's for next year.
That's what we're so projecting, I think.
On current enrollment projections and the revenues that those will generate, and the current staffing levels, that's about what it would be with roughly a $20,000 cut. Like Fred said a couple minutes ago, there's everything has other factors.
It's just, 9 years on board. I've never seen a black number. It's been like, I can quit now.
Someone could donate $20,000 that might could be absolutely.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, moving on to approval of board policies and procedures, reverting from last month's decision on 3205 and 5011. Could I have a motion to approve the reverting?
I'll make a motion.
Melanie moved.
I'll second.
Brian seconded. Any further discussion or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous again. Then we move on to policy revisions. This is the first reading, and we don't have to approve them unless we want to, but I'm going to suggest that we go ahead and just except for I want to talk about 6022. So the revision of 3210, non-discrimination, 3241, student discipline, 3414, infectious diseases, 3420, anaphylaxis, prevention and response, 3424, opioid-related overdose reversal, and 3432, emergency. Those are the ones that I have no problem with just going ahead and improving them. But on 6022, the minimum fund balance one.
Let's make a motion to talk about it.
Okay. We can. Do you want to make a? I'd like to make a motion then. Someone make a motion to go ahead and approve those. 2, 4, 6.
All of them. And then we can just make that. Then we can discuss it.
Okay. And 6022.
So. Yeah, and they can both discuss them all.
Okay. So John, so moved. And do we have a second?
Second.
PJ seconded. So discussion here.
Now we can discuss.
So okay. So all of them are language clarification except even 6022. On that one, I like the wording changes, but I strongly feel the minimum commitment should be 8%, not 5 to 7. 8% is just 1 month's payroll and expenses. 1 month. And that's not very much.
I think it should be 10%. I think it should be higher than 8%.
Okay. Did you suggest 10?
And one of the reasons for that, I think it's important to have a surplus, but at the same time, you don't want to have too much, because then people are going to come up and go, well, why aren't you spending? Why do we have all this reserve money there?
But it's not a lot to think about what can go on.
Right. It's the rainy day fund for the district. I feel like 10% is a better goal than 8%.
I completely agree.
Okay. Brian, what do you have to say?
I like the higher number. I think that's very important. I mean, you don't want to not have that rainy day fund.
Okay. I've been in the 1%. It's scary to move down there. It's just, if one thing goes wrong, it's horrifying. I know it sounds like a horrid word, but actually, this is rainy day, and we have to maintain if something goes wrong.
It feels to me like that's where we're at already, right? We're at 12, 11, 10 over the next few years.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, no, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's still the goal we're going for.
Yeah.
Want to make a comment on this one? Somebody even asked for it. We'll see. Might keep people get out of it.
Okay, might not answer. Maybe the fifth.
No, I hear what you're saying about Pimp Center, I really do. I'm concerned about putting that in Target because the key to me is being able to do it by 1 month. That's a strong suggestion, 1 month, so which would be more like 8.33, not just 8%. This does kind of mimic close to a lot of what the other districts do. But the key is to me is to that reserve fund not only covers this 1 month, but it also has some extra money built into that for some things that will happen. Because if you take a $17 million budget of 8%, something here, what are we at? 1.3 million or something like that in the reserve fund? One
That'd be
point four.
1.4. 8% would be 1.4.
8% would be 1.4. And we're saying that we're the lowest, because there's that January and then that March time when we have the money that's going out has to be taken out of that because the receipts haven't come in from the taxes. That's about $1 million, wouldn't you say? So there's still some money that is available that keeps us safe without, we're not spending all of it on personnel. We have some money in that. So to go to 10%, yeah, it keeps us there, but sometimes we, in my opinion, we need some operational money that may be tied up even with salaries, that if we meet the absolute target that we're shooting for. That's my
Can I
opinion.
ask?
I
Should be higher.
think it should be an 8.33 or 8%. That's my belief, but I would go with whatever the board says. The 5 to 7 one that was submitted to you. And again, if it goes below 5%, which is $1 million or 800 some thousand dollars or something, that would we have to come back and say, we're going to have a plan to get it back up to 8.33. But I think when we start going higher, it's comfortable, but I don't know if it does what we want for the rest of it. That's just my opinion.
No, it's fine. Just I want to make sure I understand that the argument for 8 versus 10 is really that month over month throughout the year, there's cash flow challenges with receipts, and some months are higher and revenue
We're
less in
taking like
expenses. So on average, 10 looks great on paper, but in practicality, month over month, it doesn't always work out that way. Is that kind of your
well, I
explanation?
mean, pretend would always give us more money in the reserve fund, but 8.33 would cover up
Okay.
with some. Am I right in saying that? So I got to make sure I'm not speaking something I'm not correct on. I'm assuming that there's going to be about $400,000 in the reserve fund in a month where we have the
Yeah.
issue with receipts and
So
application.
I'm going to say 8 just because it's easier to multiply it on a
Yeah.
calculator.
Okay.
No, that's about $875,000. So if there was no other cash in the bank, and we were down to 8%, that means we would have to have $875,000 in reserve. That would cover us. February is the low point. That's when the taxes start to kick in March, and then in earnest in April. About 60% of our tax revenues come in April, and only about 40 in October. And we get about 15% of the state funding in the last 2 months of the year. So several years ago they changed how they parcel out the money, and so we get more at the end of the year, and we also get some other revenues at the very end of the year. So February is the low point, and that's kind of what drives what you have to look at for what you need, and 8% would keep us in the black and at that low point in a worst case scenario.
Traditionally, is that the way it's been-ish?
February.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I
So,
just
yeah.
mean the 8%.
You know,
Please have it
we
stay
were
in the
we
middle.
were five hundred we
Yeah.
were 500,000, then it was 5%. We've been it's
Well,
been kind of wishy washy. We've been under 5%.
yeah.
There was a boom back in the early 2000s. That was money that kind of came out of nowhere. And that propped us up for a few years, but by 2013, we were starting to be in trouble again.
The board in about 2010, 2011 made the decision. It was at 8.5%. and made it 8.5%, and it stayed there until about 2016 or 17 with Dr. Diaz, and I think we made the decision we were having some financial issues, and they dropped it to 500,000 or 5%. And of course, 500,000 we couldn't do that today. I mean, the budget is, you know, $8 million more than it was back then. And so, so the answer is it hasn't been steady. It's kind of been. I've never seen it at 10% here, but that doesn't mean there aren't districts that have it at 10%. And I would, if you guys decide that that's what you want to do, of course we would do it.
So some context to where these numbers came from. I looked up quite a few districts in the Northwest BSD region, and surprising number were at about 5%. Mm-hmm. 5 to 7 was kind of like the median. And only one district had a target of higher than 8%.
How many of those districts ended up having financial issues?
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to play around with their bar. I'd like you to stay ahead of this. I like we've been going. I'll compromise 8.5.
Even at a go as high as 9.
4.75 to 9. Just have that. That's 8.5. There's 8.3, 5, 5 in my book. Then I don't want to take everything off the table if they're trying to let the school off of as well. I'd be 8, isn't it? But anyway, 8.5, I could do something like that.
Okay.
Given the economic climate, I'm not really comfortable with the 8 or 8.3. I think it needs to be higher for right now.
So here's my suggestion, that we revise that to 'with the caveat if the adopted year reserve is below blah blah blah,' that one stays the same, but that 7 be changed to 9%. Any discussion on that?
We're about 250 or so thousand, 27,000 more than.
What would that be?
1.575 million.
Any more discussion?
What's a month's payroll?
It's about million two.
And after this year, we'll be from that.
So the 9%. We don't have to vote on any of these tonight because they were first reading. And my suggestion would be to go ahead and vote on the other ones and leave that one to be revised for next month.
Yeah, I'd like to modify my motion to pull 62, 16.2 for further thought until next meeting.
Okay. Any other discussion? And all in favor of approving 3210, 3241, 3414, 3420, 3424, and 3432. All in favor?
Yes.
So that's unanimous. And we're going to say 6022 for revision and further discussion next month.
So at this point, I know when I'm prepared, you wanted me to make sure that a new one comes in with a 9% or 7%.
Yes.
And that's what you guys have kind of decided on here.
And we can talk about it more next month, too.
So throw an 8.5 and 9, just to say, you know, these three numbers do your budget. Yeah, so you actually see the actual numbers of it, how it affects.
Mm-hmm. Is that doable?
I know it's extra work, sorry.
You want to know what that dollar?
Yeah, just show what an 8.5 does, what a 9 does, what a 9.5 does. And we can just kind of make those comparisons of what that leaves us and where that puts us with the next projected payroll after we do our, you know, whatever that rate is going to be, so forth.
And
you could even think about why go much higher than. You know, what you're suggesting, 8.33, what would it be?
What might
do, how would it tie it up?
Well, let me, I just want to get back to what Board Member Kurtz requested. You said what that would do with projected raises, so now we're getting
negotiations. No, we're not getting that. I'm just saying, just knowing that payroll is, I mean, all right, just going up with payroll now. Right now.
But we all know it's going to
be. I think we don't want to go to negotiations. I think
we're not negotiating.
It's not
that. Sorry, I didn't mean to go there.
Thank you for clarifying.
What would be your reserve, based on today's budget, what would the reserve fund look like at 8.5, 9, and 9.5?
Yeah.
Easy enough.
Yeah, just like that.
And what things might be impacted?
Yeah.
You know, besides payroll.
Like why you wouldn't want to see it. Like what it would impact this, and so that's why we really shouldn't hold that much back. Or whatever concerns you got. But I just like to see it spelled out like this.
No, I don't mind trying to think outside the box. I've always thought I could think out of the box quite a bit, but I keep going back to this. It's so normal to think in terms of 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
And so to go beyond that is safe and I would say even sometimes smart, but I am stuck in this, that 8.5 makes sense to me. But that's me, and you're the board. You get to make some big decisions, and we get to follow it. So I will come back with the president, put a 9% on there, and then you can have some more discussion and can approve something after you've looked at it a second time with changes.
Yeah. Well, I think you went back to that.
We will. And I think the beauty of this one is that it doesn't say in times of need, we are staying put. If we're in a disaster area, we have to go lower than that. This gives us the opportunity to go lower when there's absolutely nothing else we can do.
I mean, we went under that 500,000.
Yes, we did. and I think that's one of the things we don't want to get to, is that we went low enough that, you know, it was back in the beginning of the 2000s where there was a private loan by a board member that had to take out to make sure payroll was made because we didn't have enough of that month of February. And so that was the board members just willing to go get a loan pay for that. But you know, that's what we're trying to get away from.
Yeah.
So I appreciate this discussion so that it's not just something that's thrown out and it's just accepted. Let's be able to have that discussion again next month so you can determine what it is you really want to do. I will tell you, I saw a completely board led discussion on this years ago, and they came up with something. I still haven't been getting the point.
So, director reports. PJ, we're saving you for last.
Thank you.
Melanie, do you have anything?
I do not.
Okay. John, do you have anything?
TJ, you're going to take care of mine?
Sure.
Okay. Brian? Okay, I don't really have anything either, except I sent out over 30 of those presentation emails, and I got one bash that was totally irrelevant to what we were talking about, and one bounce back, and that's all. But no others, unless Diana got any phone calls, we got zero response, so... I think what the school district, the things that were presented in the buildings was far more valuable because the teachers were the ones going out then and giving the facts to the people and listening to them. So that's probably, some of the other schools are having, Lopez had a town hall or is going to, Orcas supposedly had one. Fred and I talked about it. We didn't really see that working particularly well here. Mm-hmm. If you have kids to show up, if you don't. So that's all I have to say. TJ, you are up, and he's got this huge presentation.
I apologize up front for taking a while. It's legislative session time. John, Fred, and I went down to SeaTac a couple of weeks ago for a WASA clam bake.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of interesting. To me, the best part of all the sessions that we had was the Sunday morning session. We actually had Senator Wellman and Representative Santos show up. Unfortunately,
we didn't get really an opportunity to ask anyone any questions, but the one thing that stuck with me about Senator Wellman was she told us the number to remember was $1.3 billion. And she said, that's all you're going to get. And the question is, what does that apply to? Because if you look at the requests that we're making and we're emphasizing on special education, MSOC, and transportation, 1.3 is a drop in the bucket. There's a lot more money that we're asking for. So I don't really know where things are going to stand. I'm almost certain, to paraphrase what Jose said, by the end of the legislative session, we're probably going to be disappointed again. So raise your hopes. The good thing is we have a new governor who has indicated a willingness to support education. We don't know what that entails yet for things. And I would also tell you, when I start talking about some of the bills, if one of the House or Senate committees is hearing a bill, you have the opportunity as individuals and as employees of the district to actually make a presentation on whether or not you're pro or con. You can do that in person if you want to drive down to Olympia, or you can do that remotely via Zoom. So you do have that option. I know Fred's made presentations before. I've been going out in all the bills that I see voting at least pro, and those pro votes, even though you don't have a discussion with anyone face-to-face, are being weighed heavily by the legislators, because the more pro votes that are out there, they get a sense of how important it is to the constituents. So want to put that out there. The next meeting for the Senate Early Learning and K-12 Education, which Senator Wellman heads, is tomorrow. In executive session, because they've already discussed these in open committee, are going to be a special education bill, which is SB 5263, sponsored by Senator Peterson. Senator Wellman also had a special education bill that was submitted. It looks like the Peterson bill is the one that's going to be advancing for some reason. Mm-hmm. I really don't understand that. But anyway, Peterson bill is going to be in executive session. Transportation bill submitted by Senator Wellman, SB 5187, is also going to be in the executive session. And the MSOC bill from Senator Nobles, SB 5192, will also be heard in executive committee. Basically, that means that it's not going to be public. They're going to go behind doors to talk more about it and, I assume, negotiate. All three of those bills were heard last week in public committee. If you want, you can go to TVW and review the recording. They're out there for everything. TVW also allows you to look at things live. So if there's a live session, and I believe there's one tomorrow, you can go out and watch the committee in action for what is. I think if you're there in person, I believe it's 2 minutes to speak, and they have a timer that's right next to you, so you have a sense of what's going on. I want to talk about a couple of the bills. So regarding the transportation bill that they're going to be looking at, one of the comments in the public session was, or in the bill itself, is that they're waiting for OSBI to submit their recommendations based on data that's available, and they want that to be presented in June of 2028. So I'm not very good with math. I'm not a math major, but I think that's 3.5 years away from today. And so thankfully, one of the OSPI representatives was making a presentation. And when he heard that comment, he said, actually, madam, we're ready to present today. And so OSPI is telling them that you don't have to wait 3.5 years for the data to make a decision on how to change the transportation funding. We've got it for you.
Nice.
And so hopefully that message will resonate with somebody. There's a House MSOC bill, HB 1338, from Representative Byrd. Currently, it's not scheduled for a committee hearing. She was supposed to have submitted that bill as a pre-filed bill. She did not. She actually submitted it right before the session opened. So at this point, I don't know if there's a House equivalent to the MSOC bill that they're even considering. It has not gone through committee at this time. So as of right now, the only bill that we're looking at that's been presented to committee and actually had a public hearing is the Senate bill. So we'll have to see where that goes.
I do want to reemphasize what Fred said earlier. Our buildings don't care how many students we have in. We have a fixed cost on how much it costs to heat our buildings. We have fixed cost on insurance that comes in. And everything on MSOC right now is tied to student count, student head count. And I'm not sure that's the best way to do it, but we'll take whatever we can get. Over the past 3 years, and Fred will have to correct me if I'm wrong, I think our MSOC revenue stream has averaged about 1.2. So that's the income stream. Our expenditures have been averaging a little over 1.8 million a year. So that's about $600,000 that's coming out of our local levy fund that we're having to pay for. And that's the reason we're pushing so hard for MSOC to get fully funded. The Senate bill looks like they want to apply 10% out of the gate. But if you look at what our actual money was last year, that would only be another $120,000. So we'd still be about $450,000, $470,000 short that we'd be paying for. So again, it's a start. We appreciate anything they can do for us from a revenue stream, but we're just looking for them to take care of this stuff for us. Tomorrow, let's see, at 4 p.m., special education house bills, HB 1267, HB 1310, and HB 1357 are scheduled to be heard in the House Appropriations Committee. If you're not familiar with it, the Appropriations Committee on the House side and the Ways and Means Committee on the Senate side are the ones that actually approve the financing portion. So you can have the best idea in the world. You have to figure out a way to finance it. And that's the gotcha that they always get you with. So anyway, those three bills are going to be heard. Those are special education bills, and they'll be heard tomorrow at 4 p.m. The target date, so all of the bills have to go through their committees in the House and the Senate by the 21st of February. There's a couple of exceptions to that, and ironically, you may hear the phrase, the bill's dead, but the bill is never dead until the session's over. So someone can take information from a bill and advance it at some later point if they want to. At this point, neither the House or the Senate has submitted a bill to address the inequities of localization. So when Fred talks about continuing the fight for that, that means we're working with our legislators across the board, not just District 40. We're trying to get them to understand the importance of that to us. Let's see. Oh, and special education and MSOC funding, for the past 3 years, it looks like we're underfunded, $1.9 million on special ed and $1.9 million for MSOC in the last 3 years. That's $4 million over the last 3 years that we're underfunded for. And that's why we're trying to be a pain to the legislators right now. And we're communicating with them and let them know. You can go to the WASDA site. You can go to the WASA site. You can go to the Washington legislature site to look up all these bills. I also have a spreadsheet that I'm tracking things on. I'm tracking things by topic. So there are a lot of bills out there that I'm not looking at. My focus is on MSOC, special ed, transportation. And I'm happy to provide additional information if you need. Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you for making my day.
And not to lose all the stuff you're talking about, I just want to maybe go back a little bit to Day Out on the Hill. And just, I mean, how excited were we about that movie? And you were kind of talking about maybe on the long run, legislative years. I don't know if we could prepare. I mean, because it wasn't the interaction wasn't that. The only thing I was just pointing about is that they just kind of came in and said, this is what you're going to do, so get behind it. It wasn't really listening to what we wanted. There was no interaction. I was like, we don't really care. Just get behind this. That's what you're getting. And I still think it's information. I still think it's good to talk to their schools, but I just don't know if we need that all. You know, since with the registration amount of cost we go to it as well, I just don't know if we need to pare it down to one person, to make two people every other year. I don't know, during the long sessions or something like that. But I mean, it's something we can fill up. I just kind of want to, get your feel for what you thought about the new format of it.
Well, it depends on how they run the format next year, but I do agree that it might be, depending on what we think we can get out of going. it depends on where they hold it, where they held it this time. I don't think it was valuable. So I think we just need to see what they, in my opinion, see what they offer next year.
Yeah, I saw that's even new. It's pretty standard.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I think they've heard a lot of complaints from superintendents in their different meetings about not having access to legislators. And so, you know, they let us set that up on our own this time. So, I agree. I think we need to reconsider whether we go down there again next year and wait for the longer session to go down again. And again, even with that, determine where it is, what to get out of it.
Has anybody talked to the county lobbyist yet?
He met, yeah, but I wasn't in it because I had just formed Albuquerque, so I was trying to get it on the road and I couldn't get in. But from my understanding, it wasn't much that it didn't really connect to education. Put that way, there are different things. The county's very supportive of us. Both Carrie and Jane Fuller, you know, Jane's been a part of the meetings that we've had as all the time. Board.
He's turning that over to Carrie now.
And Carrie has been in contact with us and is willing to do whatever. And even if that means going down with us, but sometimes that doesn't really work either. So they will come out as one voice in support of what they're doing, of what we're doing.
Okay. Anybody have anything? Oh, calendar.
Oh, yeah.
So next month we will have a 4:30 session as well, correct, Fred?
That may be. I'll let you know. Okay. Unless it might be March. We'll see where we are.
Okay. So no changes at this point. Okay. It is 6:36, and I call this meeting adjourned. Well, that was a long